You are listening to the Effective Statistician Podcast, the weekly podcast with Alexander Schacht and Benjamin Pieske, designed to help you reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients while having a great work-life balance. In addition to our premium courses on the Effective Statistician Academy, we also have lots of free resources for you across all kind of different topics within that academy. Head over to theeffectivestatistician.com and find the academy and much more for you to become an effective statistician. I'm producing this podcast in association with PSI, a community dedicated to leading and promoting the use of statistics within the healthcare industry for the benefit of patients. Join PSI today to further develop your statistical capabilities with access to the ever-growing video on demand content library, free registration to all PSI webinars, and much, much more. Head over to the PSI website at psiweb.org to learn more about PSI activities and become a PSI member today.
Hello, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Effective Statistician Podcast. My name's Alan Bedding, and I'm once again sitting in for Alexander on this Friday episode, where I'll explore things that can help a statistician become more effective. Now, when I think about being more effective, I think about extra skills that we might need, and a lot of people call these soft skills, but I'm going to steer clear of that term because I feel there's nothing soft about them. Simon Sinek has referred to these as human skills, and I believe that's a much better way of thinking about these skills, so these human skills can make you more effective as a statistician. So this week I'm going to talk about something which is probably on everybody's mind, planning for 2025. This episode comes soon before the holiday season and the new year, and it's usually a time when we start making plans in both our professional and our personal life. This is all very good for our work life, where we might reflect on the previous year during an annual review with our manager, highlighting what we did right, where we could go better, and what could we do in the future. And in the new year, we then start to make plans. We then start to think, okay, what am I going to do in the coming year? And these might be linked to things like New Year's resolutions, which if you're lucky, will last through the whole year. But in most cases, they may last a few months. When we think of these goals for the year, we may do so on the spur of the moment. So we may think early in January, what is it I want to do? I need to get something down on paper because my boss has told me I need to have goals in my system before the end of January, for example. Now, as I was in the pharmaceutical industry as a leader in statistics, I often told people that I didn't really care what their goals were, as long as they were for them personally, as long as they resonated with them personally. I don't care if whatever they put in there as their goal. To me, it was a case of the goal is for them, whether it's right or not. That to me is they decide whether that is right. It's individual to that particular person. But it is useful to have goals to know where you're heading. So I would say, yes, for 2025, have some goals. But I'm going to talk a little bit more about how you might actually think more about these goals. So this idea that has come up in several of my coaching sessions recently. What do I want to do with the coming year? And maybe what do I want to do with the rest of my career? That's quite a big goal. That's quite a big plan. How do I know I'm on the right path? And what other things do I need to think about for my career progression? One of the things we always ask in a coaching conversation at the start of any coaching engagement is to ask the thinker what's important for them to think on. What would they like the outcome to be after our time together? And how will they know this has been useful? It's a classic Stephen Covey habit to begin with the end in mind. So how can we apply this thinking to our annual goals? Now, I've taken a few thoughts from a number of books, which are my favorite books, 4,000 Weeks by Oliver Berkman, So Good They Can't Ignore You, and Slow Productivity by Cal Newport. And these books are available at any good bookstore. Cal Newport discusses the whole idea of lifestyle-centric career planning. And he does this quite at length on his podcast, Deep Questions. And I'd encourage you to think about that particular thing to start with planning, not just your 2025, but also the rest of your career. So what does lifestyle-centric career planning involve? It revolves around thinking what your ideal lifestyle might be sometime in the future. And my encouragement is to think, okay, it might be what by the end of 2025, what do I want things to look like? But you might actually want to take it out to more than that. You might want to take it out to 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And we all know there's going to be things that come up in the meantime, but this gives you at least a basis for what your life would like to look like. And then work backwards from there. So you work backwards. Let's say we're going to take 2025. Work back from the end of 2025, what do I want my life to look like? And then think about what do I want to achieve during the year to get that vision at the end of 2025. But again, there's another synergy here with a coaching session in that we might ask the question, how will you know this has been useful? We might ask, what do we need to cover to achieve that? And so that then comes to, we've got to the end of the year. What do we need to achieve to get to that vision by the end of the year? So in our planning for 2025, we might ask that question. What do we want to look at by the end of the year? I know I said look further ahead, but let's start with that as a premise. And then you can learn to think about how to apply this to greater spans. So in this planning, I would encourage you not to rush it, not to say, I need to get this done by the end of January, but to take your time doing it. Maybe take it out for a walk, like I mentioned in the previous episode. Focus on the quality of what you're creating. And this is when I'm going to make a reference to slow productivity. One of the principles is obsess over quality. The point being that if we want to produce our best work, we need to focus on the quality of what that does. So I'm going to say, you need to be slow and take your time over the exercise to make this a quality exercise and worthwhile going forward. Another useful exercise for doing this is to use a vision board, which is a pictorial representation of what your vision looks like. It doesn't need to be 100% accurate. It needs to resonate with you, absolutely, but it doesn't need to be something that is perfect. And you should keep it somewhere where it's visible. So on your desk, in front of you, maybe a picture on your desktop, maybe it's a painting you have somewhere. I first came across this idea when my coach at the time introduced it to me. And recently I've done something with my coach now, which uses something similar called the Wheel of Life, which is a reflection of how 2025 went and what's my focus for 2025. Now, how do we break this down to be more meaningful? Firstly, focus on the areas of your life which could be similar to what I've talked about in the previous episode around sharpening the saw. So think about the four balancing factors that I talked about in that episode and think about keeping that balance together. It is important to focus not just on work. It is important to focus on work, yes, but that shouldn't be the sole focus of this planning. You need to think about what it is that my life is going to look like from a balanced perspective. So you might want to focus on things like community, family, hobbies. All of these aspects bring this whole thing together. But remember, it is definitely still personal, but make sure it is balanced. If it's not balanced, if you're spending so much time in work, you might find by the end of next year that you're in a burnout situation, and that's certainly where we don't want to be. So when we think about our work, be thinking about it to become more effective statisticians. And this is where I'm going to encourage the use of the three books I mentioned and take some of those ideas from that book. So here we're focusing on our work primarily, but we can also apply this in other areas. But let's take our work. So if we look at the book So Good They Can't Ignore You, one of the focuses for there is not following your passion, not having this, I've got this grand goal. It's more about building up those rare and valuable skills. So think about, what skill do I want to have by the end of 2025? And then building that skill up. How do I go about that? I need to do a bit of research. Maybe I do need to look into some papers. Maybe I need to look into some books. But what do I want that to look like by the end of 25? Maybe look at things like the current trends in the pharmaceutical industry and focus on something there. Do you want this to be, by the end of 25, that something where you're considered the expert? Maybe you're now the go-to person within the company, or at least you're working towards that goal. This always goes against the follow your passion directive, which we hear and we see everywhere. Following your passion may be interesting, but it also may be going in the wrong direction. And I'm going to argue we don't always follow our passion anyway. If I followed my passion, I certainly wouldn't be a statistician or be a coach. Not going to share what I would be. So to take something then from another book, The 4,000 Weeks, focus on adopting a fixed volume approach to productivity. So you only have a certain amount of time in your life. Oliver Berkman argues that if we live to a certain age, we're only going to have 4,000 weeks. And how best do we want to use those 4,000 weeks? We can adopt the same for the year 2025. We only have a certain amount of time within that framework. So why not focus on those things that are going to have the most impact? This is also similar to the whole slow productivity idea of doing fewer things. It doesn't mean we achieve fewer things. It means we do fewer things at once. Like I said, we only have a fixed amount of time. We cannot manage time. Time will tick away no matter what happens. We can only manage ourselves against time. So think about, what can you realistically achieve during the year? But again, coming back to that point of focusing on the quality, try not to do too many things and risk the quality of the things you do. You will read in Slow Productivity a number of examples where people have taken time to achieve things. They haven't done it in a week. They maybe have done it in a year or even 2 or 3 years. But it's something that has been very fundamental. So how do we know what to focus on? And this is where our vision board comes in. And this is where it links to habit to begin with the end in mind. It also links to the other concept of what matters most. Thinking about what matters most will then allow you to prioritize those things. So I would say the best way to construct your vision board is to start with a blank sheet of paper, or what I use, which is a cork board, and then get images of whatever works for you and stick them to it. It could be images from magazines. It could be images from the internet. It could be just drawings that you want to do by hand. You're not going to show this to anybody. This is for you and it must resonate with you. The most important thing for this is to think, what do I want to be by the end of 2025? How do I want the end of 2025 to look like, so when I look back, I can be really proud? So this is the whole idea of lifestyle-centric career planning for 2025. You can then, if this works for you in 2025, you can then think, I want to apply this to further out. It gives you a plan. And planning is so important for going in the right direction. But I've got to say, please do not overplan. There is problems as well with overplanning. If you're overplanning, you may not actually get to the point where you actually do something. So do not overplan. I would also encourage at periodic times during the year, maybe once every 3 months, to look and review what your vision board looks like and see if it still resonates. See if something has changed that you then need to make changes within your vision board. But remember, it still has to be meaningful for you. This is not all rocket science, by the way. There are things here which I'm probably saying to people which are the blinding obvious. But having that plan in place, looking at your vision, working back from it, is a much more sensible way than trying to set your goals based on what you've seen so far. So that's my thoughts on planning. If you've enjoyed what you've heard today, please rate and subscribe to the Effective Statistician podcast, and please sign up for this Effective Statistician newsletter. Thank you very much for listening.
This show was created in association with PSI. Thanks to Rain and her team at VVS who helped with the show in the background, and thank you for listening. Reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients. Just be an effective statistician.